My big thing is someone else's victories are not my losses.
No.
Like this scarcity mindset thing is fascinating. Yeah. In sports, you play a game, someone wins, someone loses. It's why I love it. It's so absolute.
Yeah.
But in life, like not games, 7,000 DJs could be winning.
Exactly.
Plus every DJ's winning is different.
Attention is the number one asset.
Podcast with Friends is live, episode 2 of the show. I'm excited about this one because I think for the audience that's listening, you're about to meet 3 new friends. Some of you may know some of them. Some of you may know all 3, which I would love. First, big shout out to Twitch. Again, if you're listening to this podcast, we are now also doing this live on Twitch all the time. And so I need to give a quick couple of shout outs. Oh, Birds UK is on, which is always nice. Big V Friend community member. T Walsh giving Boyd love. You know, T Walsh, if you have any problems working for Boyd, put it out here in the Twitch comments. I'm gonna allow all 3 of our friends to introduce themselves, and then we're just gonna talk about a bunch of stuff. But one thing I do need is, Boyd, go out there and tell them I need some B-Friends packs for our friends and some of the swag on the table. Dustin, I thought you guys were gonna have,
changing it up.
No. Anyway, let's do this. Why don't you say hello to everybody, tell everybody who you are and what you do.
Hi everyone, I'm Ashlyn Harris. I'm a newly retired professional athlete. Spent all my years playing soccer.
Yes, quite successfully. I you're gonna be humble now. Please, please give a little bit more juice for the people that don't know, because it's not that simple. You truly are one of the, like, it's one thing to be like, oh, I'm a retired athlete. It's another thing to be like, actually,
we're all retired athletes,
one of the
right?
best at what you did kind of thing. So go a little bit, like, I'm giving you the permission to be
a
hairless,
so
humble, because really one of the things, just to let you know, and more importantly, the audience, because this is new for me, I've always loved the idea of getting different people together from different genres, like in real life. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how I like to have dinner.
Totally.
You love know, like that, one conversation, mm-hmm. And I just think this is a fun podcast strategy for me because, for example, us, like I want more, I'm so stretched. So like this allows me to like spend more time with more people. And more importantly, I want my audience to be a Renaissance man and woman, meaning I think one of the things that's lacking is curiosity and expansion, you know? And I think like what I'm excited about is I know over the course of the next 5 years, that this podcast will be listened to millions of times, obviously a lot up front and then long tail.
Yeah.
And I want people to know who you guys are.
You're a sweetheart.
So please go ahead,
let me
be
try
a
that
little
again.
Less
Hi,
humble.
I'm Ashlyn Harris, retired professional soccer player, 2-time Women's World Cup champion, one of the plaintiffs who fought for equal pay in women's soccer and kind of spiraled worldwide. So that's kind of my...
That's a better start.
Was that better?
That's a
Thanks for
better.
Giving me. I needed that.
Willie Clark?
My name is Will Clark. From the UK, DJ, producer, podcaster.
Love
Pretty
it.
Much it yeah.
And Andy, late edition, we had somebody who got sick. And I was like, you know what? This is fun. Like, even when something gets thrown as a curveball, I've always got real friends in the office doing unique things. So for a lot of you listening and watching, Andy Kay, who some of you know, but I'm curious to see how he introduces himself, and then we'll get into the show.
Andy Kranak, I'm the president of VFriends. I've had the privilege of working with Gary for almost a decade now. I started as an intern for his book, Jab, 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 Right Hook, and now I'm on the second episode of Podcast with Friends as a substitute.
Twitch fam, because I wanna really give you some incredible access, because I've never done podcasts live before, I'm gonna allow for you to ask questions only about halfway through shows where you have context. So please be listening and feel free to jump in, put hashtag question and put your question, and I'll rely on my incredibly good looking producers here to like figure out what they wanna throw at me ad hoc. But let's go back around the table. So these are always very timely. In the US, we just had Thanksgiving, but even if you know you were not in the US celebrating Thanksgiving, I'm curious for all 3 of you, and we'll go back around the same way. As we're wrapping up the year, 2023, what was the thing that you most learned about yourself?
Oh, wow, that's such a great question. What I learned about myself, especially now going through a ton of therapy, is really prioritizing me and putting myself first and my needs, my wants,
feeling comfortable in that.
Yeah, just like really for so long, it's been about other people. I have two young kids. I recently separated from my ex-wife. So there's just so much change
going on.
Yeah, so I've been prioritizing myself, which in the end is going to make me a better mom, a better human, a better friend.
I believe in it tremendously. I genuinely believe the best way to be selfless is to be selfish.
Yes.
I genuinely believe that.
Mm-hmm.
It's why I like entrepreneurship. I'm very aware that some people may demonize it and like, that's bad. But like, I actually think like, if you can't scratch your itch, or if you can't be happy, like it's very clear to me that unhappy people make others unhappy and happy people make happy people happy. Like it's uncomfortably clear.
Yes.
And it's tough to say out loud, like I'm gonna be selfish to be selfless. But I actually have never seen anyone capable of selflessness unless they were in an incredible place.
Well, it's like what are you working for as well? It's like the bigger goal is what is the end goal of all of it. And I think it's very easy to like just get caught in the rat race of just like work,
yes.
do this, do that. And then you forget the actual why are you doing this.
Very real.
And I think it's like.
So pick us up. What did you learn this year?
I think that's the thing is like the why. It's like, it's very easy to just keep working.
That was your year this year? Like you got more into why?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And do you feel like all of us, I'm sure all of us and everybody's watching, everyone's gonna listen, like there, you know, at some level you wake up somewhere in your adulthood and you realize, why am I still stuck in high school?
Mm.
Like, why am I still in a place where other people's validation is the currency of my thinking?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's also, the why can change and actually like allowing yourself to change like the reason why you're doing it, and things can happen in your personal life that can affect your work life, and then it completely switches everything. Mm-hmm. It's like what you were saying, going through therapy, going through divorces, breakups and everything like that. All of that
can
change. And realistically, we all do what we love, which actually adds into our real life. Mm. It is our real life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not work and life, it's life, is all of it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of what you're saying. Like I think the world is obsessed with or and black and white.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I'm just like, there's no mapping to the way, that's not how life works. It's
there's no playbook.
It's all gray.
Yeah.
Because it's too circumstantial.
Yeah.
I love when people spew, like, listen, I live on the internet spewing things I'm passionate about, but I don't think I'm right. I think these are perspectives that I'm observing, and I'm hopeful that for someone in a stream, that moment, this topic could bring value.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everyone's spending time trying to convince everybody to see the world the way they see it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's just not the way it is.
No, not at all.
So for you, this was a big why year.
Yeah.
And did you come to any interesting conclusions?
No, not really.
What about?
No, but I think that's the process.
I think it's a forever game.
It's the process.
But what about a running hypothesis? What was a fun observation that you got out of it?
I think for me, it was like, especially like taking it very to like my career, it's like there's space for everybody.
I got it. So where you're going is I don't need to compare myself.
Exactly.
You got it.
Yeah, exactly that.
I love that you went there. Like, by the way, I'm obsessed with that.
Yeah.
Like you're winning.
All the time.
And that's for damn sure. Yeah. First of all, I love you.
Let's go. But
I love that. First of all, we're going to end this podcast right now. Thank you for watching Twitch. Thank you for listening.
Fun.
But my big thing is someone else's victories are not my losses.
No.
Like this scarcity mindset thing is fascinating.
Yeah.
As if someone else winning in, you know, sports, you play a game, someone wins, someone loses. It's why I love it. It's so absolute.
Yeah.
But in life, like, not games, like 7,000 DJs could be winning.
Exactly.
Plus every DJ's winning is different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're building an intellectual property. Pokemon and Marvel, or in NFT land, the Web3 land, Bored Ape or Penguins or Cool Cats, I want them to win.
Exactly.
I don't think them winning means that VFriends can't, nothing. Pokemon, Marvel, Hello Kitty, G.I. Joe, Transformers, My Little Ponies, and every other, like Harry Potter, none of that is stopping me from achieving what I want.
Well, I guess also the more they win, the more it brings people to the market.
First of all, that's absolutely right. Like, you know what, in your world, what really pisses me off is when someone is a pioneer in a genre.
Yeah.
And then it leads to more, I'll think about EDM, because I'm old, I'm 48, so watching that whole scene happen was very clear. I watched it.
Yeah.
Similar to hip hop, but I was a kid when hit, like EDM was like, okay, I like really understood what was happening. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a genre. Oh, this is what Avicii means to this. Like, this is cool. That's like Run DMC. Like, I understood. Watching people pioneer something when other people follow at scale, and then those people are mad at the people that created the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they think like that always, you should be thanking them, not envious of them. If you weren't good enough, which is what it is.
That's all it is.
But people.
Or not willing to work hard enough.
That's right, which is part of good.
Yeah,
true. Like work, you know, when hustle became like a word I couldn't say anymore, because slang turned it into burnout, I was like, cool, I won't use that. Work ethic.
Yeah.
Like, I promise you, I know all three of you in different ways. Nobody's at this table without work ethic. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Nobody just hopes their way.
No one's cutting corners
here. It doesn't happen. Like, I think people work hard and don't achieve things materialistically, but I've met very few people who don't have a sense of pride of their work ethic. One of my favorite people on paper is someone who didn't have entrepreneurial spirit, didn't have an X factor. By the way, didn't even want to have an X factor.
Yeah.
Just takes incredible, I have many people in my circles whose number one pride is that they've worked their face off like a 9 to 5, but they put their kids through school in a world where their parents didn't, and they're good.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, and now I'm just gonna bowl and drink fucking beer, and I'll see you on the flip side.
Well, it circles back around to the why.
Well, that's
their why.
Well, this is what gets me into like desperately trying to redefine success.
Yeah.
Like, one of my pet projects to the day I die is to change the conversation around success. Success cannot be money and stuff. It's why so many people are unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Success needs to be understanding yourself and finding that place of peace, because you're just in your process, whatever that is.
How do you get there though? How did you get there?
I got there by luck. And I don't throw around lucky. I hate that word. I hate it. Because people weaponize it against people that work hard. Mm. I worked hard. But you have to understand, I will say luck here, because at 6 years old, I gravitated towards 90-year-old people at the park in Queens. I believe in old souls. I believe in some people just born with wisdom. I cannot tell you why at 7, 8 years old, shit seemed simple for me. I can't tell you why at 10 years old, I decided to not be good at school anymore because I realized it didn't matter. I can't tell you why I moonwalked through high school, because I never, and I mean ever, have felt peer pressure, right? Or a need to fit in.
Yeah.
I had really, really good DNA, and I had a world-class mother who found super balance between building self-confidence, but not creating entitlement or softness.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, it's why I kind of don't give a shit about me.
Yeah.
Like, one of the reasons I just walk around and like, I'm aware that people think I'm cool and I understand how many followers I have. I understand what's happening to me.
Yeah.
I don't associate with it at all. I'm obsessed with what people that actually really have known me for a long time and people that are getting, I like care way more what you two now think of me in an hour than I did an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obsessive about people that really know me, what they think, because my validation comes from people viewing me as a nice person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like the things that most people know me for, that's just not where my validation sits.
Yeah.
And I think that just, that's, there's a lot of circumstances went into it in the first 20 years. And then somewhere around 35, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like, it started becoming clear to me. I'm like, I'm telling everybody what to do in business. No one's doing it. Wait a minute. They're scared to do it. Why? Wait a minute. Why are they scared? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Grown-ups still think it's high school? For someone who didn't think high school was high school, that's what got me down the journey. If you look at my content, it evolved.
Yeah, yeah.
It started with like tactical, like do this on Twitter and it will work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, why is no one doing it? And then it started getting into this.
Mm.
Which is why I'm so happy that human beings now can say out loud therapy, where 40 years ago you couldn't.
Yeah, so true.
You're going to a psychiatrist, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Now it's like, we're just 20 years away from people going to therapy the way we go to
school.
Yeah. And that's good.
Yeah.
It will be good.
Going back on the success thing.
Please.
How do you cope with that, from being extremely successful in your career to then retiring and being like, what?
It's my favorite subject with athletes.
Really?
Yeah, because I have a sports agency.
Yeah.
And I grew up obsessive about sports. Mm-hmm. And I think you're asking an incredible question. I'm so happy. And I grew up my whole life wishing I was an athlete, but being thrilled that I settled into being an entrepreneur because I got a little taste of it. Mm-hmm. But then as I got older, I'm like, motherfucker, these people, they found their, especially the one, you know this, some people are athletes that really love their sport. Others are completely indifferent. It's their way to financial success or to get out. That was a brain fuck.
Yeah.
But for the ones that love it,
yeah,
the idea of being in your 30s,
yeah,
if everything goes remarkable in your, and now with modern medicine and training, maybe you're 40 if you're one of the greats of all time in whatever sport, but like most likely late 20s, early 30s. By the way, if you're in the 1%,
yeah, one I was of the lucky,
you know, yeah. like, and then you're such a young woman right now.
I just turned 38. I played a long career.
But you're a fucking child.
Yeah.
Like real talk. I know you've lived real life. You got a lot going on. You got kids. But real talk, 38 is like, especially got like
got
the way
more,
the,
a
like,
lot more
you,
to live.
Like, honestly, you're probably going to live for a minimum of 62 more years.
Well, I hope so.
So, but just think Bless about, but think about that for a second. That's fucking insane. Mm-hmm. You've lived like a real fucking full like life. Mm-hmm. And yet you're a third in.
So scary to think that way.
And epic.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It
you
is
You have
really...
like another, let's say for instance, you stop work, you retire at 65, 70. You've got a whole new life to do.
I mean, for me, I loved, like soccer was not who I was, it's what I did.
Yeah.
But at some point your body takes such a toll and it affects your mental health so much. Like, it just started to get hard to get out of bed.
Yeah.
You know, like people don't realize how much, like, especially women's sports. I have no pension. I walked away years ago. I have no, I don't have 401ks. I don't, I have to deal with this.
By the way, men's sports are not so fucking great either.
Like, but at least they make millions of dollars where they
But you know what's funny?
If you're at the top, right?
Yeah, like real talk, like the NFL.
Yeah.
America's most popular sport. 2.5 year average.
Not
and
long.
Most That's guys are out of money after 5 years. I like, because by the way, unless you go in the first round, so the way football works is your real money comes in your second contract, which is the fourth or fifth year of your career. Almost everybody's out after 2.5. Yep. And if you don't go in the first or second round, which don't forget, if you're out of league in 2.5 years as a first or second round pick, you're a massive bust and you have to deal with that mentally.
Yeah.
Financially, you've got a little more money. If you're a third or fourth or fifth round pick, you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars, not millions.
Yeah.
And by the way, you have to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. You're normally a cliche kid and bought some dumb shit, like a house and a car and a chain. And so like, most people that go play in the NFL when they're 26 are finished with it and have to get jobs.
Yeah. And what people also don't understand is like, and you know, you've been in sports for so long, it's you're really a machine. You're trained to be, I was trained to be a machine. And you lose sight of reality a lot of times because that is what your life is. That is who you are. You're a competitor. Like, I couldn't stand for someone to beat me in ping pong. I couldn't stand if someone walked upstairs faster than I.
I love you so much. By the way, I'm on a mission to make competitiveness understood again. Look, as you know, it sounds like we're similar. everything is good in balance.
Yes.
I don't think it's nice that I like am willing to like punch a kid. That's not good. that's not accepted in society. I get it. But I'd be lying if I didn't tell you my chemicals. If like my son is getting really good at basketball and I'm like, oh crap, I need to beat him as many times as possible right now. Cause unlike AJ, my brother who was 11 years younger than me, he was, I think, 17 the first time he beat me. I was 28. Like, I was still, like, athletic. Yeah. Like, I was still 28. Mm-hmm. I'm 48. And my son is actually a modern basketball kid, which means he can dribble his... They're all Steph Curry'd out.
Yeah.
He's all step back. AJ played more like the generation I came up with. There was no massive step back to create separation, and you can hit a three from half court.
So that's you're saying your son's better than you?
My son is so uncomfortably better than me. Now, luckily, right now, I'm also a grown-ass man. He's a child, so I can still beat him 11-0. But I already envisioned this weekend, after playing a little bit, I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to, like, really get physical on him in two or three years. Like, I don't need him winning before he's 15. Like, I can't lose to a 12-year-old. But I'm gonna have to body him up and, like, kind of weirdly hurt him.
You have to, true. Sure. But it's very different when we were raised. We did everything. We played everything.
Everything.
Now everything's specialized. So specialized.
Well, that's because all these parents are fucking out of their mind and think their kids are gonna be pros.
Fair.
I mean, these parents are so fucking delusional. I was at this Central Park baseball game a couple years ago where, like, these two dads were just getting out of my, I finally just, like, because I can get loud. I'm like, friends, nobody at this park is playing Major League Baseball. Like, this is all fun and games, but do you understand what's going on in Central and South America right now? Like, every kid is our kid's age, three times the size, and throwing 90 miles an hour. Yeah,
exactly.
There's no soft kid in Manhattan going to the league. Harrison Bader is the anomaly, not the preview. All right, Andy.
Yes, sir.
What did you learn about yourself this year?
I would say instead of the why, the how. You talk a lot about focusing on your strengths and punting your weaknesses, and I would say that's something I learned this year, how to scale everything we're doing at VFriends and in my personal life and not giving a fuck about things that I suck at and making sure that I have people around
me. Give us an example of something you suck at that you came to grips with this year. Because these vulnerabilities and, like, these real talks, like, I'm watching the chat as well. Like, what I think is happening, I had a hunch when I started this podcast that one on three, like, when I do dinner, there's a reason, like, all of my friends over the last decade professionally have fallen in love with the idea of one conversation with 5, 10, you've been in a lot of them, 5, 10 people at a dinner table. It's the fucking best, and it goes, like, real. And already in a quarter way into episode two, I can feel it. Like, there are different conversations that if I had individually. So just because there's so much trust between you and I have no idea where you're about to go, but I'm genuinely curious, just to empower people listening, like, go real with me. What this year were you like, I'm just not good at this? Or I'm not as good as I wish to be,
it's worth punting. Not good at, it's feeling like, because I'm in the role that I'm in, I feel like I need to do it. And understanding and being self-aware, they're like, actually, this person's better than me at that, and they're gonna do a great job at it, and I can let them run with it.
Got it. So, like, having this major leadership role, which you earned from intern to this, and it's high profile, especially in our little
and then universe. Learning the role, like, it doesn't, I don't have to be the one doing it as long as I'm understanding.
Mike Boyd's in the background, who's obviously done music with me forever. Tyler Walsh has now been with us for, what, 3 years, 4 years?
Two.
Well, this is actually cool because I think this is the compliment and flowers I'm giving him. When Walsh joined the team and you've been, like, this central figure, you're my music plug, it's your identity, we have a playlist together, like, you're very well known. We've had a good run. I've been a little head down these last couple years, but we had this coming off this crazy run in music and hip hop, our genre that we love so much. What did you learn that Walsh was better at than you? And did you struggle with that? Or did you, like, were you ready for it because you were stretched? Or did it hurt a little bit because your whole identity in this thing was this? And you're like, fuck, this kid's got, because you were also going through a part in your life where you got married and you had a kid. And, like, you know, I assume when you're, let's call it what it is, you two are A&Rs. Yeah. Like, there's some advantages to having 15 hours a day to listening to music and finding someone that a Walsh coming up the game can do that maybe that you used to, like, I'm curious for you.
Yeah. So Tyler Walsh, he's watching. He's the best. And when he joined the team, it was great to see him go above and beyond without me asking.
Yeah, he's a self-starter.
That helped me realize I could let him handle it.
Yeah.
Even on the way here, we were talking while I was driving. I told him, hey, we could talk about this in a minute. I need you to do something, but we'll do it together. Potentially, if you need help. He already had it done by the time we hung up. A lot of times he'll send me a video and he'll be like, look, I really think we need to do this. These are the reasons it could work. Like, I didn't even ask him to make the video. I just show up to work. He's like, I was rethinking everything we've been doing. And, like, without his help, you know, a lot of that would not even be
I think about that a lot. I also think about, like, you two and your like the things that, like, I think it's such a real thing, Andy. Like, you know this. Go ahead, please. I see you want to say something.
Well, it's another thing. Like, it's really rewarding to watch the people that you're managing or the people around you get credit for the work and not feeling like I need to get credit. Like, you giving daps to Ezra for something. I'm like, that's so cool. I'm so pumped that he got it. Get that validation from you.
Yep.
And I think if that's happening, I'm in a good place and the team's rocking and rolling.
I think that's right. Maybe I should join. What did I learn about myself this year? I think I've doubled down on, like, my kryptonite back to being lucky, mm-hmm. and I'm comfortable making a Superman analogy, which is actually a weakness. My Superman moment of it all is a weakness. Like, I was raised as the first, I was the oldest child in an immigrant family that was born in the old country that had a younger sister. From day one, my mom is like, you take care of her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plus, both my parents lost a parent very young. My mom lost her mom at 5. My dad lost his dad at 16. Most of my childhood, I feared one of my parents dying. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a constant play track in my mm-hmm. mind. So, like, I don't know. My dad worked every minute because we were an immigrant family. So, I don't know. Like, at 5, like, I don't know. By 7 for sure, I'm like, I'm the guy. I'm the leader. Mm-hmm. And, like,
but does that take away the childhood as well?
Of course it does. It's a real thing in my plenty of like the way I think about my life and when I go into like therapy mode, whether in therapy or like, cause I'm always in therapy mode, cause I'm always thinking like, there's so much of what made me and like made me pop both in real life. And then, you know, in the last 15 years in public life is so much about that, but it's also my kryptonite.
Yeah.
Like my lack of candor. Gary Vee is a candor beast. Mm-hmm. That's what people fell in love with me for, getting to the punchline. But in real life, if I loved you, it was really hard as a business leader, especially in my personal life. You know, like, you know, I really resonate with like putting oneself first. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoy making people happy. I enjoy being. I get it.
Yeah.
You think it's your superpower.
Yeah.
Like, I think my superpower is taking care of everything and making everyone feel safe. The problem is we're human beings. Mm-hmm. And so like when it was too much for me, it would come out as passive aggressive razzes. Like something, you know, like Andy, so like the way I would manage Boyd, you know, less because of the way but definitely Andy was on my content team, said like my go-to if I was frustrated was not to speak candorous and just like cut to the chase and move on. It was like little slights in jokey form because I didn't want it to be too much poise. But like,
you walk away, you're like, yo, what was that joke?
It was true.
You know, for sure. Yeah. And like, you rely on the fact that you have a real relationship and I can get away with it because I'm providing a lot of value. But over time, I realized that's not right. And it was my vulnerability. And so I would say the thing I learned this year was probably the continuation of something that's been the theme for the last 5 years, which is if I can ever figure out how to get great at what I now call kind candor, which I would say I'm at a 4 to 5, let's call it 4.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
But coming from 2017, Gary, being at a 1, that 1 to 4.5 has been fucking massive.
Mm-hmm. How did you get there though? What's the process?
Pain. Yeah. Realizing people that used to work here don't like me. And I was like, that's impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, like, how is that? Oh, right. When I look at, please.
You gave advice. I think it might've been, it was to some emerging musicians one time. And I always tell this advice now too. You had said they were about to pop, like really blow up. And you're like, what I would say is you guys should have a day once a month, every quarter where you go to the diner. And you know that when you go to the diner, you're going to lay out how you're feeling and everything that's pent up, and it's going to give you that freedom and space to be candorous. And so many times
I use that example,
like a cliche one that I did with my roommate after hearing that. My roommate like wasn't cleaning up the kitchen and stuff, and it just gets annoying.
I
asked like one,
so the chat's about this. Everybody had some roommate that was dirty. I was a dirty roommate in college, so I'm like, let's talk about your hat. I love that brand. Like,
you ask once or twice, and then he's not doing anymore, and I'm like, I'm gonna stop asking. But then the next time,
it's
he's
resentment.
Yo, you want to go play basketball, and I'll just blow up like, no, fuck you, blah blah blah. And he's like, whoa, what are you talking about? But then knowing, I'm like, okay, it's Friday. It's Friday, the last Friday of the month. I'm gonna tell Chris what's up. And it just created like this safe space.
It's really cool that my parents are both therapists. So I grew up with that every night at the dinner table. And my brother would be like, can you not make us talk about our feelings? Can you like hit us like every other adult, every other parent? But it's like, I was so lucky growing up as a kid because it was like every night was like, how are you feeling? Like, what's going on? Like, what have we done? What's somebody else done? Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing tool to have.
It's everything. On the flip side, I think about purple a lot. So America's political system is obviously red and blue. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, man, we need to start talking about purple because the flip side of, you know this, especially growing up with those two kind of parents, and I'm sure, you know, maybe your family got fortunate because they found enough purple, but I'm sure they had contemporaries where all that thing went too far the other way.
Totally, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, back mm-hmm. to competition. Mm-hmm. I am petrified of eighth place trophies. I don't
even know that world.
And I would tell you, I understand why it happened. Mm-hmm. Because we would have compassion for children.
Of course.
Who would lose and cry. But the incredible amount of indifference we have created for a generation has led to a lot of depression. When you don't care, when you're 24 and you're like, think about what is the scariest thing to hear when you, as a parent, when you talk to your 24-year-old and they say, it just doesn't, nothing matters. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. You know you're having a combo of like scary shit. Mm-hmm. You know, substance abuse, having real conversations around suicide and things like that. Scary shit. Yeah. The great fear of any parent. Mm-hmm. I just want to remind people, it doesn't matter is something that was instilled in kids' heads. Mm-hmm. And when you tell people that when they're six and they play and they are naturally built to be competitive or care, I know I can speak for us too already in 2 seconds. When people, when I was seven, because they didn't say this back in 1982, but if somebody even, and some of my family did, if they even inklinged when I lost a Monopoly or ping pong or pool or backyard football, if they even tried to broach the concept of, because I cried every time I lost for the first 7 years of competition. Yeah. So from 7 to 14, I cried.
When did that stop? Sure, it's 14.
Somewhere around 14, 15.
And then I took started it, fighting.
I fought a lot as a kid.
Same. And
because losing was devastating. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thought that somebody would say to me, it doesn't matter, do not tell a child who is wired to care, aka competitive, that it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Because you are confusing the fuck out of that poor little thing. Mm-hmm. Of course, the only thing, if you just said, hold on, you us four need to race to the door right now, it's the only thing that matters. It's the reverse. There is nothing else.
Yeah.
I think we've really created a culture of indifference. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a problem.
Yeah.
Because indifference is the scary one. Like, it's wonderful if you're not competitive. That's beautiful. It's wonderful if you don't like enjoy Uno or like great. But to take that away from the other half, I think has caused a lot of weirdness that people don't see yet.
What do you chase or value more? The excitement of victory or just never wanting to taste defeat? Like the Nas has a quote.
It's neither.
Cool, it's cool to love to win, but it's better to hate to lose.
Honestly, neither. The genuine curiosity of where I stand. It's why I love entrepreneurship.
And it's the truth, because when I think back of even winning gold medals or world championships, the second I do it, I'm like, great, what's next?
100%.
What's next?
Like, that's the killer though.
Look at me as a sports fan. I love the Jets and the Knicks, but I equally grew up a Rangers and Yankees fan. Equally. My high school friends always like talk about this. Like most of my high school friends think I was a bigger Rangers fan than a Jets fan in high school. But the Rangers won the cup in 94 and that was it. Mm-hmm. That curiosity I was curious what it would feel like to win a Stanley Cup. And then I did. And then it was just not as interesting.
But on a deeper level to that, how do you, when you achieve things, because I can relate to that massively, whereas like you set goals, you achieve them, and then it's like, what's next? But there comes a point when there isn't a next.
I just think there's this inner like competition that fuels me. So it's not so much about what you get from doing it. It's the process and journey while you're in it.
Yeah. 100%.
I fuck with it too. Like every day. Like, and it's funny because we're going to keep bringing up therapy because I'm in it a lot right now. Like I was so, the amount of self-talk I had as an athlete, I fucking knew I was great. And like, I was so kind to myself and I didn't cut corners. All of my confidence came in my preparation, but like it switches off when I'm in the real world, in real life.
Oh, interesting.
It's so weird.
Did you have as you were.
It's so weird.
Yeah, I don't think it's weird. I think it's different arenas.
Yeah.
Who we are as a professional is different than who we are in a relationship, different who we are with friends. We have a lot of different versions of ourselves.
100%.
Like I was not scared to knock on doors and sell stuff at 6. But at 14, like asking a girl out was still like, I don't like we have just slightly, you know, like you're just different in different places. Certain places you have fear. Some people jump out of airplanes. I'm like, fuck that shit. but then here, like would never like try to sell something. They're like, I can't do that. Or public speak. Like when I realized how many people completely fear public speaking, like I'm like, that's my bed. Yeah. That's my home. That's the coziest place I know. That's cozier to me than anything I do.
We're like the same. When I went to college, I took acting class, poetry class, and public speaking.
Love.
For electives.
Love.
Because I was like, oh, I'll do this shit in my sleep.
Yeah.
I'm not doing stuff where I have to like actually work anything. Like, I'm good.
I get it.
Send me in front of a camera or in front of a group and I'll just be my, way.
I'm different when I'm cooking in the kitchen at work. Just different versions. All right, friends, we're gonna open a pack of B-Friends. So these are my Pokemon meets Marvel, Sesame Street kind of world. Here's the game.
Oh.
Everyone, it's good, you can open. Everybody opens. And then I want you to look at all four characters and tell me which character speaks to you and why. Okay, I've got mine. DJ Will, you go first. Which V-Friend of your pack, which V-Friends did you pull?
Legit Llama, Boisterous Beaver, Shrewd Sheep, and the Sincere Skunk.
Okay, and which one speaks to you the most?
Legit Llama.
Why?
I think for me, it's like I know exactly what I'm doing for myself, and it's not about anybody else now. It used to be about everybody else and kind of caring about what everyone.
What was
it?
What was the tipping point?
Some like. Fat personal family stuff that happened and it was just like the focus just completely changed and it was like okay now is I no it nothing else no one else matters
right
it's just I'm just doing what I want to do because I want to do it and if it does well it does well if it doesn't I'm enjoying the process.
It's everything
love
it.
I'm gonna go with the fearless fairy
Let's
fucking go. And I say this because I'm like in this pursuit, and I said this at VCon a little bit ago too. It's like I'm tired of worrying about being understood.
Yeah.
I feel like as public figures, so quickly like narratives are constantly ran and questioned about your happiness, your health, who you are. And it's really conflicting and jading, and it pushes you off your process a lot because it's like you could read 500 comments that people say about
you're the
who
goat,
you
you're
are.
The goat, you're the goat, you're the goat.
It takes and then one. And then it just like is so crippling. And
Can I tell you something on that?
Please.
This is real talk. And honestly, one of the reasons I'm saying this is it's very obvious that the whole Andy Warhol 15 minutes of fame thing, like the whole, I heard this very early in Twitter, 2006, '07. I don't remember when I first heard it, but the whole, it's not 15 minutes of fame anymore. It's everyone is gonna be famous to 15 people is fucking real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like every child that's listening to this thinks about their personal brand.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. Now, I want to remind parents that are like, this is fucked up, fuck social. That's how we all lived anyway.
Yeah.
It was just that your personal brand was in the four walls of your high school.
Mm.
It's called reputation. But it's obviously different dynamics. I see it as amazing because some of us grew up in towns where nobody could understand us, but we could find our homies now on Twitch or TikTok. Like, I like it.
Yeah.
I'm aware of the reverse, but I will say something to you that I want you to hear that I'm very passionate about, and this is for everybody who's listening, especially parents to say something to their kid. We talked about this earlier about selflessness and selfish. A human being that took time in their life to either find you or consume one of your pieces of content, and their reaction was to take time to try to hurt you is in a very bad place.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, as a society, this is just good for everyone. This has to become the way the world looks at it. We have to stop feeling bad for ourselves. Don't become delusional and an asshole and out of touch. Every negative comment I get, and I get plenty, even though I'm a pretty positive guy, because I'm just at scale.
Mm-hmm.
I like kind of look at it like, hey, am I high on my own supply? Like, this is like, I don't want to become a caricature of myself. I'm reading them all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's valuable to check myself.
Yes.
But I do not internalize it. I deeply deploy compassion and sympathy
mm-hmm.
for someone who's I have never in my life decided to go to somebody's account and leave.
Never.
Well, think about what I'm saying. We've not broken this down. You are laying in bed, you're walking down the street, you're on a plane, and you are in such a bad place that you want to go see someone else's light, and you need to make yourself feel better. Misery loves company. Oh, sayings exist for a reason.
Yeah.
You need to close the gap on your wound. You're only reconciling, just like people go to drugs and alcohol and food and other things to deal.
Mm-hmm.
The way you deal with your unhappiness is you want to hurt someone else. That's bad.
Have you ever reached out to them?
All the time.
Yeah.
I used to do it. You want to hear? Do you know from 2007 to 11, I reached out to all of them?
Really?
Every single person for 5 years that left me something negative, I interacted with.
Yeah, I respect that.
It's why shit was going so good for me for a while. Like, everybody who was like initially like, fuck this dude, he's full of fucking.
Yeah.
Like they were like, wait a minute. And like, so now I had like, you know, in essence, they became the people that most liked me.
Of course, yeah.
Now it's just at so much scale, I can't get there. But I really hope that everybody, not just us four, get to that place, because it's 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of a funny tweet where you used to reply a little bit, I just bookmarked this and I'm going to come back to it in 2025 or whatever the case was. It was a funny rebuttal.
Andy, yours? What did you pull?
I pulled hype horse, unwavering urchin, skilled skeleton, and bullish bull. I'm going with bullish bull. I'm just bullish on life and the opportunities at hand. And I'm feeling bullish.
You're in a good place?
Yeah, I'm in a great place. I'm in America, I'm in Hudson Yards. I try to maintain perspective, and I just think every day is an amazing opportunity, no matter where you are, but especially where I am.
I love that.
I'm
going with common sense cow.
Mm.
I believe that as the world becomes more complex, there's amazing things. We're more thoughtful. No humans like us four 30 years ago talk like this, unless you were in a family that had like, this was unheard of talk.
Yeah.
Unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
Love. On the flip side, what is it? Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the things that is incredibly waning in our society is common sense. People are overthinking everything so much that you've overthought it so much that you don't even know how to cross the fucking street.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm obsessed with common sense. The reason I made common sense cow was I know that cows are easy to, you know, sea urchins are a little bit weirder than cows. Like, I gave a lot of thought to like who was what and who they were gonna be, and like fearless fairy for a reason. Like, mm-hmm. But common sense cow is like super important to me, because I'm gonna develop these stories for the rest of my life. I first thought it was more Disney. Now I realize it's more Jim Henson's Sesame Street. Mm. Become incredibly impressed with Jim Henson's life. I didn't realize the magnitude of his intent behind Fraggle Rock. You know what Fraggle Rock is? You know that? It was a big show in the 80s on HBO when HBO was like new.
Mm-hmm.
And cable. And it was huge, especially for Twitch. Who knows what Fraggle Rock is? Give me some love. I'm sure it's been rebooted on the streaming service. Anyway, there was a creative brief that he gave to his writers to create a show called Fraggle Rock. Usually these things are like a fucking packet, mm-hmm. or at least a mission statement. His entire thing because we met the woman who did it, was literally the whole brief: stop war.
Wow.
Create a kids program that will stop war. Yeah, I honestly, like...
It was a cool meeting. The woman who worked for Jim Henson...
And she's in her 70s, a British woman.
She took the call by way of an introduction. She didn't know anything about Gary. She had no idea what she was getting
into. It
was
very clear within the first 2 seconds that she was there.
Amazing,
like, that she was
amazing.
There to be nice to someone else.
Yeah.
And probably maybe
elderly
even did a
British
quick...
woman, like very,
maybe
very...
did a quick Google search and was like, fuck this guy.
And then she got the Gary Vee keynote of what he created Vee Friends for. And then she was like... Excited. She's like, you know,
not only was she excited, this woman probably paid me one of the great especially, I was always like, Jim Henson's rad, but like, now that I'm been on this journey, I'm like, whoa, Jim Henson's like super rad. she paid me an insane compliment. She's like, I think the reason we're both saying it this way, I think she was even like so British and straightforward. She was like, mate, just to keep it real with you, I came into this just to check like, she was that awesome.
Yeah.
She's like, but honestly, I've never felt like this because I really went, I felt like I needed to like show her that this was real shit for me, not like I want to sell some fucking cards.
Yeah.
And she paid me a really nice compliment and said that the way she was feeling reminded her of the way she felt as
That's
a young
amazing.
Woman around.
Why did you start Vee Friends?
Because Gary Vee's been very effective.
Yeah.
Like the guilt and gratitude that I have of the luck. Notice the word I used. One of my least favorite words in the world. Mm-hmm. I believe luck is weaponized by unhappy people to weaponize against people that are trying hard. I don't like it.
Mm.
That being said, I used it because I'm in guilt and gratitude of who I am.
Mm.
You want to talk, like, I loved the way you talked about being like ready for your sport. That's how I feel about life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I genuinely think I can beat everybody on earth in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unsettling. Like, it's incredibly powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me unwaveringly happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing scares me
mm-hmm.
outside of the health of the people I love. Nothing. Especially when you know you're willing to live in the dirt. Like all this is garbage. Do you know my favorite Rocky is when he lost everything and had to go back?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I'm a weird, like one like nobody
Forever
gave a fuck
Phoenix.
About. Like I love the process.
Yeah.
Nothing. I went from not even being able to go to a Knicks game to finally being able to buy a ticket and sit way up there, and now I can sit courtside. And if tomorrow something happened and I went back to having to be only able to buy $100 or $300 ticket and sit way up, okay.
Fine.
And what? Yeah. And what's going to happen? You're going to make fun of me that I used to. What does
so
like?
What?
I'm just.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't. This goes back to the comments. Here's the key. I don't believe the accolades.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe the accolades, you don't believe the hate.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting that, because like when it comes to awards, right? There's awards in sports, there's awards in music,
there's awards
in business and everything. You've probably won awards for what you've done, probably.
Let's talk about being a businessman.
Yeah.
If you talk to my financial people, they despise my relationship with money. They're like, you're a fucking businessman. I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of the lucky few. Maybe some people on Twitch will know where I'm going with this. If you were born into not much,
yeah,
and you get to being about 7 and your first 7 years is filled with nothing but joy and happiness,
yeah,
and you didn't have shit, which is my life. My mother was so gangster in like pure,
mm-hmm.
over the top optimism,
yeah,
joy,
yeah.
love. She gave me everything of sunshine, rainbows, and hearts,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't have shit. So who the fuck do you think I am as a 48-year-old man? I'm a 48-year-old man who fully understands there is no correlation of money and stuff and happiness. And yet most of the world lives their whole life trying to buy a car or a chain or a building or a plane or because they believe that once they get that, then I'll show all. Everyone's running on resentment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm running on gratitude.
It's also really easy though to say that from like, we're all in a privileged point, right?
Well,
it's very easy for us to say that.
This is why I keep
that.
Referencing my high school.
Yeah.
Like my high school friends know that I was making $40,000 a year at 26, living in a shitty Springfield, New Jersey apartment and knew I was the happiest person in the bunch, even though a lot of them were starting to make money in Wall Street. And so like for me, yes, I am aware that 99% of people that are listening right now either don't believe me or don't know or will take me on my word.
Yeah.
But I also know that there's hundreds of people that know it's true.
Yeah.
I was more happy at 30. I just had less responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Diddy and Biggie had it right.
Yeah.
More money, more problems is real.
So it really is.
You know, like when I was in my pure process building a company for my parents, I felt at the top of my game. I was sacrificing my 20s to build a company for my dad and mom. Mm. What's more noble? Like I was fucking perfect. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Now you get like all the noise and as much as I've got it, like I'm still a human, like, sure, I got my force field up, but like, you know, it's like, you know, something can slip through once every 2-3 years for 4 minutes,
yeah.
You know? So anyway, yeah, I'm just incredible. Anyway, where was I going? Oh, be friends. I've done some real damage.
Yeah.
Damage is a slang term of good. I have, you know this, you ran my social with me. You know this, that's like, I have unlimited DMs that are gonna come into my DM tonight.
Yeah.
Of people talking about being suicidal, alcoholics, hitting their, do you know what it feels like to be on the receiving end of, I just listened to a podcast and I don't know what the fuck you do or who, what, but you said two things and I just want to be vulnerable with you and I feel safe in this DM. I've been hitting my spouse and I will never hit her again because of you.
Yeah.
Do you know what that feels like?
It's deep.
It's deep as fuck. When I take selfies, it's not because I'm a world-class athlete or because I'm a fucking shockingly handsome or because I make people laugh or give them incredible escapism through sport or music, or it's because I'm talking about things that like they're actually doing, either to like sell things at garage sales and get their family out of debt or completely, it's why I admire your parents.
Yeah, yeah.
In, you know, one gene of non-entrepreneurship and I'm your parents.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a guidance counselor, I'm a head coach, I'm a teacher, I'm a therapist.
Yeah.
And so, you know, VFriends is, yeah, I've reached a lot of people, but there's 8 billion. And I'm not the person that's gonna reach them all.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, as every day goes by, I become less easy to be relevant to. Of course. My success keeps building.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, like if you want to reach kids, like,
well,
I don't know,
older.
If a 50-year-old white dude who's got a lot of money, even though my story's real, like it gets harder and harder. But guess what? A cute little bull or some of my favorite characters, accountable aunt. Let's talk about accountable aunt. I believe the number one reason people are fucked up is because they're not accountable. Oof. You want to get real happy real fast? Literally look yourself in the mirror and say 100% of everything that is not working for me is my fault.
It's true. It's really
and
true.
Don't beat yourself up and say, I'm a piece of shit, I'm a loser. No, no. The second you go there, you realize you can then also fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're blaming Biden or Trump or countries or China or the league or the media or social media or TikTok or Elon or Twitter or Twitch or Fox News or CNN or like, if you're just, well, then you're saying, I'm not in control. Fuck.
100, I think even for me, like in my kind of realm, like social media is massive, as we all know, it's massive for all of us.
Of
but like the likes of TikTok, for me, like TikTok just doesn't do it for me. It's just not for me. And there's people that are in my career or in my industry that are way bigger than me because they do TikTok. And it's like, for me, it's like accepting the fact that I will never, I cannot stand it. So why do it? It makes me so unhappy. So why do it? I know I'm not going to be as successful as them, but so what?
Brother.
It's like, I can't be bothered.
I could probably own the Jets, my big business goal right now, if I was willing to do things
exactly that
I didn't like.
Yeah, yeah.
If I was willing to do things I don't like, it'd be a wrap.
Yeah.
I would have started a crazy hedge fund or a private, like, I would have just been an investor. After I invested in Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, like, I was in it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have the admiration that you have from others though.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
And not that like that's like, you know what's funny? It's not like, it's like, honestly, back to like going through the process, like I love my parents so much that like no question making them proud is like super big for me. But I got lucky because the thing that my mom put on a pedestal, who predominantly parented me, obviously, my dad is a big factor in my life. He just, like to his credit, he worked to build our life. Then at 14, I worked with him every day. And so I got very lucky. I got them both more so than my siblings did. My mom's pedestal was not money.
Yeah.
Was not fame. It was be nice to people.
Yeah.
That's why positive reinforcement as parents is such an important thing. If you tell, the reason so many people work for people is because their parents told them grades were important, yeah, and so they just became conformists. Mm. Get an A, AKA be a good manager in a company.
Do whatever it takes to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, play the system.
Yeah.
Which is a fake system, just like, I don't know. Like, it's such an interesting time in the world. Anyway,
but I do think it's something to know, which I find I admire so much about you, to be so, because you are such a giver. You're very, it matters to you how people see you and feel your presence, but you don't lose yourself in the process. And I feel like that's a learning.
It's a real thing.
Because for so long, being in the spotlight, doing this social media stuff, I was giving. I was so empty inside. I was a shell of a human. So at what point, it's the hardest balance to find.
It's complete, and it's a very fucked up thing. I always wondered, like, will somebody invent a machine that could actually, like, tap into you, like a lie detector test, and actually show everyone everything? Like, I dream of this machine. Mm-hmm. Because if that happened right now and I plugged in, you would fucking faint how much good I want for you and want to provide for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The problem is then there would be a comma after all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that comma would be followed with you being like, what the fuck just happened? Because it would show you how much I do not give a fuck about what you think.
Yeah.
That,
which is a superpower.
That is like pulling so, and that's why it's like such a fun life. It's why everyone I meet, I'm just like gonna give and give and give. And if you don't reciprocate, I don't feel bad.
Yeah.
I didn't get, the reason everyone's like, when I say nice, so I've been thinking about building a fashion brand called Nice Guys Finish First, right?
Great, call me.
So people are constantly, constantly saying to me, you're so fucked up with this, Gary. You don't, it's all delusional. I'm like, you just don't understand what I'm saying. Mm. Which is like, if you're truly nice, I believe most people posture manipulation into being that they're nice. Mm. Most people that like I've run across that are trying to be nice to me to set up the ask.
Mm. Totally, 100%.
I remember when it first started happening, Gary, I'll do you a huge favor. I see you're coming to Dallas. I'll give you a ride from the airport. Right. So like instead of like laying in the back of a car that I paid $50 for so I can like actually rest after a long flight and like maybe call my kids, you want me to go into your car so you can pitch me your business and like and you're packaging it as that was always like the funny extreme example. But I think a lot of people that feel like they get walked all over for being nice need to look in the mirror and realize they're actually setting up a manipulation.
Yeah.
Mm.
Or they're deeply insecure, and their validation comes for like being walked on.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other version.
Yeah,
because pure niceness is undefeated. When you're nice, you give without expectation.
Yes,
which means you can't be hurt.
Yeah,
the reason I'm never hurt is I have zero expectation. To my actions towards them should not be reciprocated in any way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing it for any other reason than it feels good.
I love that.
I'm aware that it may lead to something. Like, I understand life. I just wish more people, like, went all in. All right, wrapping up. This, like, zoomed by. And I'm sure there was a couple things maybe on your mind that you want to talk about or tell people about. I want that for you. What I'm setting up now is permission to tell the millions of people over the next half decade that listen to this anything you'd like them to know or follow or something you want to talk about. So before we get out of here, parting thoughts.
I feel like we hit it, but it's I'm really happy you do this. It's really special. It's really amazing just to have a really vulnerable conversation. And I love that people are so genuine and open to it. And I'm happy I got to do this with you guys today.
Likewise. Awesome. Yeah, the same for me. It's it's just nice to speak to people that you don't know and that you can relate on the same level as them and kind of have the same conversation. You don't often get it nowadays It's hard to like dig on a bit of a deeper level.
And it's even harder to, like, it was funny, 20 years ago it was easier for me to find them. Now people are posturing of it, but
of course,
it's not.
It's fashionable. It's fashionable to have a therapist. It's fashionable to do all of it, which is great. But
yes,
it's like,
but the problem is people are using it as makeup to disguise their real intent.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Andy?
I'm grateful that I got to be maybe the best substitute guest.
Thank you for having me on. Never a substitute.
And I hope to see Ashlyn and the crew back at VCon in 2024.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, LA this time. August 8th to the 11th, LA, vcon.co, co. Check it out. My parting thing is first to the Twitch family. Thank you for being here. I fucked up. I promised you some questions. I'm going to let Dustin and team grab three or four, and I'm going to film answers and use it for social media content, which is 10 times better because you're going to get full exposure for that. So we'll make that good. Number two, Twitch crew. I'm going over to Fanatics Live right now. So I know a lot of you I saw in the chat came over to watch this. I'm going back over there. I'm about to give away a ton of free VFriends collectibles. So download the app, go over there. I'm going to assume that most of you know how to get there. If not, please leave some comments to the rest of the Twitch family. And I'll leave everybody with this. Please hit me up on Twitter, Gary VEE, which with the quote or the statement or the topic that most hit you from this episode. Because I always love to hear like what people attach to. I can also share it with my friends here. Thank you all for being on.
Thank you.
Podcast with friends, and we will see you next time.
Can't wait.
Peace.